Bussy.
Creativity to me is just like a friendly bird that embraces all ideas and just like shoots out of its eyes all kinds of beauty.
Wow, Lemon, this is like watching Hemingway write.
Yeah. Creativity.
I'm Kurt Anderson. This is Studio 360. We're talking this hour about the science of creativity, what we know and the vast amount we still don't know about how creativity works. Over the last couple of decades, a revolution has really taken place in neuroscience. Functional MRI, fMRI, has given us a tool to watch the brain at work in real time. By showing blood flow, fMRI gives a picture of what parts of the brain are active when we do various tasks, think various thoughts, feel various emotions, like remember something or make a moral judgment or play piano. From Baltimore, WYPR's Aaron Henkin has our story.
Mike Pope's fingers wander over the keys of a Black Baldwin concert grand piano as he settles into the groove of an extended improvisation. Pope is a veteran. He's had his share of tough gigs over the years, but none quite as awkward as this.
You know, so he just kind of lays you down, gets you comfortable, and you know, puts your knees up, and then you're laying on your back, and there's a double mirror. Your head is in a cradle, a cage, actually, and you're pretty crammed in there, but he's got a double mirror, so as you're laying on your back, you know, your knees are up in the air a little bit, and you're seeing the keyboard laying on your knees. You know, they shove you all the way into the tube, and you're just in there, just enough movement to be able to move your arm, essentially.
And all this contortion is for an audience of just one person.
My name is Charles Lim. I'm an otolaryngologist at Johns Hopkins Hospital, where I study music perception in the brain.
So Dr. Lim's laboratory is basically a room with a computer workstation, a multi-million dollar functional MRI machine, and one musical instrument, a custom-built MIDI keyboard. It has 35 notes and no magnetic parts. Nearly 40 different musicians have squeezed themselves into this MRI tube and played this same keyboard since Dr. Lim began his experiments in 2003. Once the doctor gets his musical guests comfortable in the fMRI with the keyboard, he outfits them with a pair of earbuds and pipes in the sound of a metronome. Their first task, a C major scale in quarter notes. Next, Dr. Lim tells the musicians to improvise on that same scale at the same tempo. This recording is another musician who participated in the study, a pianist named David Kane. Then Dr. Lim plays a backing track in the musician's earbuds and asks them to play a lead they've memorized beforehand. Finally, the musicians get the green light to let loose and start improvising over that same backing track. Now, all the while, Dr. Lim is watching images of his subjects' brains on a computer screen. Some areas light up bright red. Other spots glow blue-green.
In functional MRI, you're actually measuring changes in the signal of oxyhemoglobin and deoxyhemoglobin.
Wait for it.
Essentially, you're looking at how blood flow patterns change in the brain and the magnetic signal associated with it. To make a long story short, you're getting images that pertain to hot spots or cold spots of activity during a task.
I had a terrible fear that he'd turn the machine on and look at my brain and it would just be gray fuzz. There wouldn't be any activity at all.
Truth is, Dr. Lim didn't know what he was going to find.
There's never been an fMRI study of jazz improvisation, so to a certain extent, we kind of had a very general statement, which is that we could measure neural networks specifically linked to the creative task.
Now, what the doctor did know was that he'd come up with a solid, original experimental design, one that acknowledges an important fact. Not all music performance is creative. Step one, watch the real-time brain activity of a musician playing from memory. Step two, watch what happens in that same brain when the musician is creating new work. Step three, compare and contrast.
When you transition from a memorized state to a creative state, there are certain changes in the brain. And if you sort of zoom in right on the prefrontal cortex here, you'll see that there are certain areas that are very active. These areas that are red or active, hot spots in nature, imply that there's a sort of self-expressive or autobiographical region that's active during these solo jazz improvisations.
Logical so far, expressive part of the brain humming away bright red, but equally important is what's not happening in the brain.
Meanwhile, there's this broad shutdown of activity that's occurring in the lateral prefrontal cortex. I'll show that to you better here. This is a three-dimensional rendering of the brain where you can see this broad patch of sort of blue-green that represents what we call deactivation.
So that part of the brain that cools down during the creative process, what exactly is its job?
One of its main roles is self-monitoring, conscious self-monitoring and regulation of output so that it matches an intended effect.
As musician Mike Pope puts it,
the important part of improvisation is to, well, it's literally to get out of your own way.
And now it appears we know what getting out of your own way looks like in the brain. Expressive area turned up, inhibitory area turned down.
We think in the aggregate that that represents kind of the neural signature of creativity, at least in jazz solo improvisation.
The neural signature of creativity, lightning in a bottle. The triumph of science or the collective death rattle of the muses? Mike Pope is already thinking ahead to a brave new world of performance-enhancing drugs.
Wouldn't it be great to be able to say, geez, I'm having a hard time organizing my thoughts, but, you know, if I drink my clear thought juice, whatever it is, you know, that we can amp up that. Who knows what it'll bring? I don't know, but I think it's pretty cool to try. I'm just a genuinely curious person anyway, so I can see all the reason in the world for experiments like this.
So are we headed toward a future where Grammys and National Book Awards are disgraced by doping scandals?
Maybe musicians are a little more forgiving than baseball baseball fans.
We're joking, of course, but not really.
I do think that one day, we are going to have interventions, whether they're pills or other sort of commonly available things that are going to specifically affect the way our creative circuitry works. I don't know if it'll be during my lifetime or not, but I'm quite sure that that's going to happen one day. I think we'd be foolish as a scientific community to ignore it. I mean, creativity is, you probably can't get to a more important basic process by which we evolve.
For Studio 360, I'm Aaron Henkin.
At studio360.org, you can watch a video of Charles Lim presenting another of his fMRI brain experiments with freestyle rappers.